Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Please leave your Bibles open there, Psalm 131. But before we get into God's word, let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would quieten our souls now. We pray that you'd help us to sit in your presence. We pray that you'd help us to hear from you. And Lord, we pray that you would stop all of those wandering thoughts so that we might reflect on who you are and of what you have done for us through Christ Jesus. I pray that you would guide my words now, that they might be helpful and edifying to your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the way home from our trip to the Blue Mountains recently, as we made our way home, it was incredibly windy. I was towing our caravan, and normally the long, steep hills that we go up as we go up the Blue Mountains, normally that is the challenge. But this time, it wasn't the hills that were a challenge, it was the wind. A caravan, particularly a full-height caravan, catches a lot of wind. When it's calm, you barely even notice it. But when the wind picks up, everything changes. Times we were being buffeted side to side and I was having to steer against the wind just to stay in our lane. Other times we were driving straight into a strong headwind. I could feel the engine working harder, the car straining as this invisible force was pushing us back, resisting every bit of progress. It was tiring. Constant corrections, constant effort, no sense of ease. But then there were moments when everything changed. The wind shifted. Instead of fighting against it, we were suddenly being moved along by the wind. And you could feel the difference. Everything went quiet. The engine relaxed. I barely had my foot on the throttle. The same wind that was causing us to get tired and exhausted, unsettled, was now carrying us forward. This is what Psalm 131 is teaching us. In this psalm, David describes a heart that is no longer striving, no longer restless, no longer driven by anxiety or ambition. A heart that is no longer pushed from side to side by the desires of this world, but is resting in the guidance and direction of the one who is in control of all things. When we live apart from trust in God, life often feels like you are driving into a strong headwind. We're pushing, striving, correcting, compensating. We're trying to control outcomes ourselves, prove ourselves, secure our future. Even good things. Things like responsibility, success, ministry work can begin to buffet us side to side when we carry those things in our own strength. And it's exhausting. But Psalm 131 invites us into a different way of life. Not being passive, but a life of humble trust. Not laziness, but a settled dependence on our good and gracious God. Like a weaned child resting against its mother, no longer crying out for what it thinks it needs, but content to simply be held. when our hearts are willing to align with God's good plan for us, when we stop striving for control and rest in who he is, the same forces that once unsettled us no longer dominate us. Life may not suddenly become easy, but there is a deep sense of quiet and internal peace. The engine of our soul, so to speak, relaxes. We're no longer fighting our way as the world buffets against us. We're entrusting ourselves to the one who controls everything. Just over a month ago, our nation was shocked by what I'm told is the worst terrorist attack that's ever occurred on Australian soil. And for those of us who have been watching and seeing how our government has responded to this news, there has been a real sense of uncertainty and concern as laws were rushed through Parliament that are very likely to have unintended consequences, particularly to our freedom of speech. And while all this was going on, some of us have been dealing with serious health issues. Others have had stresses and strains put on their lives. And even if we haven't been facing any kind of turmoil lately, we will sooner or later. And that's why Psalm 131 is showing us where we can find lasting peace and strength. What is your first response when something goes wrong? Just think about that for a moment. What is your first response when something goes wrong? Do you give in to despair because you feel like there's nothing you can do about it anyway? Feels like all hope is lost? Do you go straight to action to try and find a way out of that problem because you want to control the situation? You want to be able to fix it yourself? Or is your first response when something goes wrong to go to your knees in prayer and tell God about whatever it is you're going through? Last week, as Keith led the congregational prayer, he mentioned something about praying for something as simple as a glass of water, giving God thanks for the simplest things, things that we take for granted. In a similar way, we often take God's care and provision for granted while we run around trying to fix our problems ourselves. In verse 1, the psalmist reminds us that we aren't showing strength or fortitude or self-reliance when we try to fix our problems in our own strength. We are simply allowing our pride to get in the way of going to the only one who is in control. David says, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty," which means sort of puffed up. This isn't a boast. This is a man who is seeking to trust the Lord with his circumstances, even though he knows it's going to require him to trust God more than he trusts his own plans. Anytime we think we're actually in control, it's only ever an illusion. Just think about it. We can't make our hearts beat even one more time than God has ordained for our hearts to beat. We can't even take one more breath than God has ordained for us to breathe. Our lives are completely in his hands, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And so when we take matters into our own hands, when we become proud and trust in our own strengths and abilities, we don't gain control. We lose perspective. We lose sight of the one who is in control of all things. Just like a caravan that's been towed into a strong headwind. Pride pushes back against us, pushes back against our trust in the one who is in control of everything. As Romans 12 verse 3 reminds us, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. The more we let go of our pride and our self-reliance, the more we find ourselves being carried along and relying on God's strength, his wisdom, and his love for us. As the psalmist says in the end of verse 1, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Now, this isn't a call for us to be ignorant, particularly about what God's word has to say. Now, this is an acknowledgement that God is God, that he is the one in control of all things, and we are not. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God has revealed his will, his purposes and plans for his people through the Bible. But what God hasn't revealed, the secret things, the things that are too great for us to understand, they belong to the Lord. When we are praying for somebody, somebody maybe even who knows the Lord, when we are praying for them to get better when they are seriously ill, but they don't. When terrible things happen that just don't make any sense to us. When Christians are suffering sickness and hardship, but we look around and all we see is wicked people prospering. We can either try and trust our own reasoning and try and make sense of what we see and can never really fully understand. Or we can entrust those things that we can't understand, those things that are too great for us to understand, to our loving and gracious God. Verse 2 says in Psalm 131, but I have stilled and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. A child that hasn't been weaned will often become desperate for its mother's milk, even when they aren't hungry. They can smell it, and so they want it. They want the comfort of that milk. And so they will cry and cry until they finally get their way. But a child that's been weaned can calmly enjoy a cuddle with their mother, not because of what they're going to get from their mother, but simply because of that feeling of safety and security that they get from their mother. When David says, I've stilled and quietened my soul, he's saying this isn't something that happened by accident. It isn't automatic. It's something that must be desired and searched for in order to be obtained. You see, when we were infants, before we were weaned, we had no concept of the idea of independence or self-reliance. We completely understood that we depended on our mothers for everything. But as we grew up, we started to want our independence. We see this all the time in 2 and 3 year olds when they say things like, I do it myself. They're slowly trying to get independent from their parents. What the psalmist is saying is, the more we submissively rely on God's strength, the more we renew our strength in him, the quieter our souls will be, like a caravan that's being pushed along in the wind, carried and supported in the way that it should go. It's then that we find shelter and care and provision in the one who is not only in control of all things, but who is sovereignly working all things together for the good of those who love him. And that's why the psalmist ends his prayer with these words. To those who trust in the Lord, he says, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. In 1 Samuel 13, David, who's the author of Psalm 131, is referred to as a man after God's own heart. But if you think about King David's life, many of us will instantly think of his sin with Bathsheba when we hear those words. But being a person after God's own heart isn't about being a perfect person. David certainly wasn't. It's about being someone whose life is marked by the dependence on the living God. And we certainly aren't perfect either. And that's why God sent Jesus. Jesus died to save us from the guilt of our sins. And as he willingly humbled himself for us, he also provided the ultimate example of dependence on God the Father. Philippians 2 reminds us. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection shows us that humble obedience and dependence on God isn't passive. It isn't inactive. Now, of course, we aren't called to physically die in the same way Jesus was. But we are called to die to self so that we might live as new creations in Christ, in submissive reliance on God. Because strength doesn't come from independence. And peace can't be found in self-reliance as much as our world wants us to believe that. Strength and peace can only be found in submission and dependence on God. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us that he heard from the Lord and God said these words to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response to those words were, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Since the day that we moved to Area Park, those words have been posted on our kitchen wall as a reminder that we work in God's strength and not in our own. I've recently started praying a little prayer each day. I think it was written by John Piper. It says, whatever it takes, Lord, increasingly align the desires of my heart with yours. Whatever it takes, whatever has to be taken away from me, whatever is best for me, however he needs to shape and mold me so that the desires of my heart will align with his. So that my wandering heart isn't trying to chase after the things of this life, but is resting in the sure and certain purposes and plans of God. Now, I don't pray those words lightly. I know that that is a very dangerous prayer to pray, because God wants to grow us in him. He wants to answer that kind of prayer. But I also know that the only way that anyone can find lasting peace and certain hope is when our plans and purposes are aligned with His, and we stop fighting against Him like a caravan that is being pushed back by a headwind, and are instead pushed along in the wind as He guides and directs our lives. We quietly rest in His presence like a young child cuddling into his mother's arms, trusting that no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens to us in this life, our God who loves us and gave His Son for us will always do what is eternally best for us. And we can know this because He has proved His faithfulness to us when He sent His Son. Let's give Him thanks in prayer. Father God, there are so many things that we could be going through our minds, worries, cares, stresses, so many ways that we could be anxious, so many ways that we could be trying to deal with a situation on our own. Lord, we pray that You would help us to rest in You. We pray that You would help the desires of our hearts to align with Your plans and purposes, so that our hearts might be filled with abundant joy as we see You bringing about Your eternally good purposes in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.